Let's open our Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of Luke, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament. We're going to go to chapter 11. We've been spending a lot of time in the Old Testament, and this morning we are going to be in the Gospel of Luke, New Testament, chapter 11, and we're going to start reading at verse 5. Luke 11, verse 5, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And this is what God's Word says. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this is your word for us here this morning. Father, we want your Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts and our minds. Father, we want to learn a new lesson from you here this morning. We want to be drawn a little bit closer. Father, as your representative here today, Lord, I ask and I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide me through the words that I say. Father, they will fall upon the ears that they need to fall upon. Father, I hide behind the cross. I certainly decrease. May your name increase, Lord. You get the glory, as always. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Last week was Mother's Day, and I said last week that I was really wanted to give a Mother's Day message, but I just couldn't find one, or one didn't come to me. Talk more about parenting last week, but I promised I'd have a Mother's Day message today, and I do. A group of elementary school children were asked to answer some questions about their mothers. Here's a few of the questions and a few of their elementary school responses. Why did God make mothers? The answer, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. How did God make mothers? The answer, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? Because God knows she likes me a whole lot more than other people's moms like me. Children sure see moms from their own perspective. Here's a few quotes from adults about their mothers. The heart of a mother is a deep abyss at the bottom of which you will always find forgiveness. To a child's ear, mother is magic in any language. A mother's love is instinctual, unconditional, and forever. Mother is the bank where we deposit all of our hurts and all of our worries. A mother understands what a child does not say. When you are a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child. And the last one, I thought this was great. A little girl was asked where her home was. She said, "Where my mommy is." I certainly hope that you think that you have the best mom in the world. I think I had the best mom in the world, and it's okay to think that. But one word that sticks out in my mind about my mom and a lot of other moms, and some of you here in this room, is the word giving. You know, sometimes moms just always give, and they give, and they give. And as I look around this room here this morning, I see a lot of you moms, and you are exactly like that. You just give and give and give. But what about us? What about us children? The Bible tells us that we need to honor our fathers and our mothers. But as our moms give and give and give, did we ever give back? I want to spend the remainder of our time here this morning sharing with you a story about my mother. I will try not to get too emotional. And I'm even going to mix in some really good theology. This is a story about one opportunity that I had to give something back to my mother through the miracle of persistent prayer. The story is the story about my mother, Irene. If goodness was the only criteria to get into heaven, Irene would be one of the first ones there. She was a very, very good woman. However, we as Christians know that we are not saved by our good works. Is that not true? We are saved by our faith in Jesus Christ. But Irene was a good woman. Irene served 4 years in the armed services in World War II as a nurse in Europe and in Northern Africa. To Irene, everybody else always came first. It was always Irene's family came first. It was always the neighbors came first. It was always the patients at the hospital where she worked the graveyard shift on weekends. They always came first. But I also believe that's an attribute of a really good mom. Other people are always first before them. Something else about Irene that you need to know is this. Irene was Catholic through and through. She knew her Catholic religion. She knew what she was taught. And she walked the Catholic walk. One thing you have to learn about people who are brought up seriously in the Catholic faith, like myself and my family, is that once you are into Catholicism, you dare not deviate from that. It's your way of life. It's just what you do. And Irene was certainly one of these people that was Catholic through and through. But then came that one day in May of 2001. I got a phone call from my brother telling me that my mother was in the hospital. She was 81 years old. They did not know what was wrong with her at that time. I didn't know if my mother was saved or not. Previous conversations her and I had didn't seem to go very far at all about salvation or Jesus. So as I was traveling to Pittsburgh to visit, I left work a half a day on a Friday, decided to go on up there and visit her in the hospital. All the way up there, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, give me an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with my mom. Give me that opportunity. And I feel very much like the neighbor in the scripture that I read this morning. I just kept on nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. Give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. That's all I want, is just that one chance, Lord, to share Jesus Christ with her. I got up there on that Friday night, walked into the hospital room, and my whole family is there. Now, that includes three sisters and their husbands, a brother and his wife, and my dad. So there was quite a room full of people. One thing you don't do with a sick woman and a room full of Catholics is pull out your Bible and start thumping people over the head. I knew that if a window of opportunity would open up, Mikey was going to walk right in. But that Friday night, it just did not happen. My mom was very conscious, talking, laughing, joking. But I didn't have that golden opportunity to witness at that time. I went home, actually went to my brother's house. The next day I decided I'm going to come back here to Virginia, and I would stop at the hospital to talk with her and visit with her before I came back. Walked into her hospital room, and nobody else was there. Huh, this is nice. And I went in there and told my mom, I said, I'm on my way back to Virginia. I said, let's talk. I said, what do you want to talk about, Mom? And out of all the years that I spent knowing my mother, she started telling me all of these stories about her that I had never heard before. Moms, do you have stories that you've never told your children yet? Well, I was hearing them all that Saturday morning. Stories about the war, about this, about that. And it was very interesting that I was hearing things for the first time. All the while I'm standing there, Lord, will you open up a door? And then out of nowhere, she just got done telling me about whatever it was she was telling me about. And then came the four questions. And I promised that one Sunday I would share her four questions with you. And this morning is that day. Her first question to me was this: Mike, with so many different religions and so many different faiths out there, how do you know which one is right? Well, I took that as first an answer to prayer and a golden opportunity to start sharing Jesus Christ with my mother. And I'm just going to paraphrase the answers here for you this morning. I don't know what I said word for word. But I said something like this: Mom, the first thing we need to realize is, where do we go for the truth? I said, there's only one place we can go for truth, and that's in God's Word, the Bible. And I just so happened to have this Bible in my hands with me that morning. Go figure. I said, we need to go to this place for truth. And let's see what this word says and how we can answer your question. I said, Jesus Christ claims to be the Son of God. And Jesus Christ says this, Mom. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one gets to the Father except through me. I said, Mom, that's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And I said, in John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus says this, that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall never perish but have eternal life. I said, Mom, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? She said, yes. I said, Jesus says He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if that's true, then there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way, Mom, and that's through Jesus Christ. The Bible also says, Mom, that there's only one mediator between us and the Father, and that is Jesus Christ. So, if Jesus is telling us the truth, which I believe He is, Mom, then there's only one way, and you got to go through Christ. If He's lying, then you know what you and I could do? Mom, we could make up our own religion. We could call it whatever we wanted. We could make up our own rules and regulations. And we could say that if we followed them to a T, we would make it to heaven based on our own rules. And my mom said, oh, that wouldn't be right. I said, Mom, you're right, because it's not right. But every other faith, every other religion other than Christianity says that. Christianity is the only one that says that Jesus is the only way. She laid there in her bed. You could tell the wheels were turning. And she asked question number two. Mike, is it okay to pray the rosary? Now, for those of you that might not be familiar with Catholicism, the rosary is a very big part of Catholicism. It's those beads, that chain that has the beads on it. Each bead represents a prayer. And if you're going to pray the rosary, which is approximately about 60 prayers, it'll take you about 45 minutes to an hour to go through each bead and say a prayer. And I said, Mom, on that rosary, you are praying the majority of those prayers to Mary. The Hail Mary. Many of you might have heard that prayer, Hail Mary. I said, Mom, do you realize what you are doing? I said, you are praying to a dead woman. She thought. I said, Mom, the Bible teaches us the very first commandment that God says that He's the only God. We'll have no other gods before Him. I said, Mom, do you realize what you're doing when you pray to a dead person? I said, that's very offensive to God. I said, and Jesus says this, that when we pray this, our Father in heaven. We all know that as the Lord's Prayer. I said, we're supposed to pray to God. We're not supposed to pray to anybody else other than God. And when we do, Mom, that's not a good thing to do. She laid there for a while. The wheels were turning, I could tell. And she asked me question number three. Question number three was this: Mike, can a priest forgive me of my sins? And I said, no. But let's look to the Bible and see what the Bible says about that. I said, Mom, if you and I are at odds with each other, and I sin against you or you sin against me, I said, we can forgive each other of what we did. And we could ask to be forgiven. And I said, the Bible does tell us to do that. But that does not forgive us or absolve us of the sin. There's only one person who can forgive us of our sins, Mom. And that's our Father in heaven. And how does that happen? It happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It happens because Jesus Christ, as I said before, Mom, He's the only mediator between us and the Father. And He died on a cross, Mom, for the forgiveness of our sins, for all who believe. I said, that man, that priest, he can say whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. But your only way of forgiveness of your sin, Mom, is through Jesus Christ. Because God is the only one who can forgive you. And she sat or lay there and thought. And then she asked her fourth and final question. And she asked this, Mike, why do bad things happen to good people? Now, as all of you here at Beech Grove know, we spent many weeks back in, I believe, October, November, talking about that, a whole sermon series on that. So I'll give you the abridged version of what I told my mother. I told my mother this. I said, Mom, there is sin in the world. I said, many, many years ago, a man and a woman by the name of Adam and Eve, they sinned. And when they sinned, they brought sin and death into the world. And from that point on, bad things happen. People get sick and people die. I said, but Jesus tells us this, Mom. He says this in the Gospel of Matthew, that the sun shines on the just and the unjust. You know what that means, Mom? That means that good things happen to good people, but good things happen to bad people. But Jesus also says that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And Mom, that means that bad things happen to good people. And bad things happen to bad people. And there's no rhyme or reason why certain things happen. It's all in the hands of the Lord. I said, Mom, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about people. It's not about your good works or my good works. It's about what Jesus Christ done on the cross for you and I. I wanted to talk a little bit more, but a nurse walked in the room and my mother was going to have some tests done. So that was the end of our conversation on that Saturday, which was actually the Saturday before Mother's Day. That was the last real conversation my mother and I ever had. A few days later, that next week, she got out of the hospital and she went back home, thinking that everything was going to be okay, even though they still didn't know exactly what was wrong with her. About 3 weeks later, I got another call from my brother, and he was pretty much in hysterics. And he said, "Mike, Mom is back in the hospital. They don't expect her to live. You need to come on up." Once again, it was a Friday morning. I said, "I'll be up as soon as I can." I left work a half a day, and on that five-hour trip from Verona, Virginia to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I prayed persistently, "Lord, I gotta know. You opened the door of opportunity for me to share Jesus Christ with my mom. And now, I need to know. My prayer is this: will you keep her alive just long enough so I will know one way or another if spiritually she's okay or not? That's all I want to know, Lord." We serve a big God because He listened to me for 5 straight hours over and over and over again, just asking, keep her alive. I got there about 6 o'clock on Friday night. She had just come out of surgery and was in intensive care. And my whole family's there in the waiting room, and some of us are crying, and one by one, we were allowed to go into the intensive care room and see her. And when it came my time, I went on in. And there she was lying there, and she had all these tubes. And you know what I'm talking about. Respirator, the whole works. And she pretty much looked like she was in a state of unconsciousness. And the nurse even said, "She might be able to hear you, but she won't be able to respond." And I remember just bending over and kissing her and said, "Mom, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but just remember this. It's all about Jesus." Well, she did not respond. Went home later that night, actually back to my brother's house, spent the night with him. And on my way back to Virginia the next day, June the 9th, 2001, I decided to stop at the hospital to visit my mom. They had moved her from the intensive care into another room. The end was inevitable. She was going to pass away. "Lord, just give me one opportunity to know. All I want is one opportunity." Got over to the hospital, and the only person in my mother's room was my mother. So I sat there, and you could tell that she was in and out of consciousness. So I sat there, and I had this Bible with me, and I just started reading from the Gospel of John. Maybe that's why I teach the Gospel of John in Sunday school, because it kind of means a lot to me. And I'm reading, and I said this: I stood up, I got over my mother's bed, and I said, "Mom, I have to know. Do you trust Jesus Christ with your eternity? Is He the Lord and Savior of your life?" And she opened up her eyes. Her eyes got about this big around, And she picked up her arm, she grabbed my shirt, and she pulled me down where my ear was right up against her mouth. And she said, "Yes. Oh, yes." I went back and I sat back down again. And I got out my Bible and I opened it to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I said, "Mom, there's something you need to hear." I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I have it highlighted here. I said, "Mom, here's what you need to hear. That death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "Mom, it's time for me to go." I bent over and I gave her a kiss. And I said, "Mom, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I'll see you on the other side." And Mom, thanks for being the best mom a kid could ever have. I still have that marked in my Bible. I even wrote 6/9/2001 and highlighted it. My mom died 5 days later. Sometimes I don't have much to give. Lord knows I certainly have my failures. I have things that I'm not real good at sometimes. But by golly, you open up a door of witnessing opportunity and Mikey's going to walk right in. The Lord answered both of my prayers. I only prayed for a witnessing opportunity. I only prayed that He would keep her alive long enough so that I would know where she stood. I guess somewhere along the line, I asked the Lord to save her too. And I believe He did. I guess I'll know for sure when I do get on the other side. In the meantime, I'll just trust that her words were sincere from her heart. There's many lessons we can learn from Pastor Mike's story this morning. But there are three fill-in-the-blanks, because there are things that we need to learn. Our first fill-in-the-blank is this: be persistent in your prayers and never give up. Be persistent. Or as some Bible say, be bold in your prayers and don't give up. I prayed for the opportunity to witness, and I was granted that opportunity. I knew the salvation part was in the hands of God. But as Christians, It is our job to share Jesus Christ with people. That's our job. And I know it's God's job to save. Our second fill in the blank. I knew this. Freely you have received, freely give. Somebody at some point in time shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. We need to turn around and share that gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Our salvation, this eternal life that we all have, you know, it says in the Bible that it's a gift from God. Did you know that we did absolutely nothing to get it? But we are, in return, to share that joy that we have in the truth of God's Word with others. And don't ever think there's no such thing as a bedside confession. If my mom was truly saved or not, I don't know that for sure. I wish she could have stayed alive long enough where I would have known more. But I'll take her yes as a yes. Especially when she pulled me down and made sure that I heard her answer. But I do know this. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But it goes on to say this. How can they call if they don't believe? And how can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they hear if it's not preached? And how can it be preached if someone isn't sent? I had to make that trip to Pittsburgh. Our third fill in the blank. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Again, I don't know if everything that I said this morning were my exact words that I said to my mother on that Saturday, June the 9th, that Saturday in May. I don't know. But the Bible says this, the truth will set you free. I could have stayed there all morning, that morning, and told my mom what a great mom she was. And that would have been the truth. But my friends, let me tell you this. Her good works as a mom, or our good works as people, that doesn't save anybody. Doesn't save anybody. Only faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross and that relationship we have with Him is what saves. I have it written in your bulletins. I would rather pray and God say, no, than to never pray and never know. For one day in May of 2001, I had a chance to give back all that good stuff my mom did for me. Thanks be to God. Let's pray.